From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. 46 protesters were charged for shutting down the road to SeaTac Airport. Finally, something is being done about that traffic. Am I right going into SeaTac? Finally. Anti-Semitic incidents continue to rise in the Pacific Northwest, the Anti-Defamation League reports. But before we get to all that, this is all just kind of bad news. Looks like Dave Reichert really kind of stepped in it when it comes to the old gay agenda. Am I right or am I right, Spike O'Neill? You're looking at a guy who has been nothing but supported by members of the GOP and beloved by all for catching the Green River Killer.
He's a hero. He's a hero. And my wife was born and raised in the Northwest.
And now he comes out and he says something that the gays immediately latch on to, criticizing him for, you know, having an opinion or whatever that's discriminatory and bigoted. But, like, does that really mean that he can't have that opinion? Do you know what I'm saying, Spike? Even though he's actually actively talking about taking away the rights of consenting adults. I'm just saying, O'Neill, I'm just saying the gay agenda, when a guy can't say, I want to take away your rights. What
without
point,
being labeled
what, without being labeled a bigot? I mean, come on, you guys. What is this system?
That's why there's not a bar in the governor's mansion. You know, you can say that stuff at the end of a bar.
Right.
You can say that stuff over a draft beer with your buddies.
Right.
And you have every right to do so, and we can be friends till the end of the day. But when you're sitting in the governor's mansion signing bills into law, you know, you can't be willy-nilly talking about zipping away rights from the citizens of your state.
Dave Reichert came out. He was at a fundraiser back in February, and there was a video that was taken of him talking at that particular fundraiser. Laura, do we have the audio from that? We got that? Because I want to get the full context of what Dave Reichert was talking about.
It's important.
It's very important. Let's hear what the man had to say about gay marriage.
So he was asked by an audience member, how do you define a woman?
Number one, my wife is a woman and I'm a man. And you're a woman and I'm a man. There's only man and woman. I was raised as a Christian. And marriage is between a man and a woman.
Okay. So obviously, you got Dave Reichert, obviously not very familiar with the science or the neuroanatomy of transgender individuals, but that's okay. That's okay. We can work with that. But when it came to actual marriage, when it came to one of the most contentious issues of our time, Dave Reichert said that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, I make a non-secular argument for why gay marriage should be legal in all 50 states at the federal level and why it should be codified into law permanently. It's very, very basic. It is a religious freedom right. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So if my Christian church, the one that I go to, says we would like to perform gay marriages, that church should be able to do so, right?
Agreed.
And then if another church says we don't want to perform gay marriages, they should be able to do so, right?
Sure.
This synagogue does, that synagogue doesn't, this Church of Satan does, that Church of Satan doesn't.
Yep.
We should just let people do what they want to do. And then when it comes to a piece of paper, which is basically a tax contract, when you really boil it down, that the federal government gives you that says, okay, now you guys are BFFs for the rest of your life, file your taxes the right way, here are some incentives, I think that that should just be left alone. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the arguments that people make against gay marriage are always theocratic in nature.
Sure.
There is not a single argument against gay marriage that is not based in religious doctrine. And when people attempt to do so, meaning outside of religious doctrine, it doesn't make any sense. It is a non sequitur. It does not follow. Dave Reichert, unfortunately, I think he really stepped in it when it comes to this comment, because he's trying to run in a very blue state, a very liberal state. And there are many people who are gay in Seattle. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed this before. I'm up to my elbows in gays every time I try to get to, just all over the place.
Hang out in my neighborhood, which is even worse.
I'm even suspicious of people in this building that we might have a gay amongst us. Point being is that if you want to lose a campaign, this is a really great way to do it. So, you know, Dave Reichert, unfortunately, if your position as governor is that you would not support any bill or anything to attempt to codify that further into law or to preserve that further in law, I cannot vote for you at this point. Like, there's just no way. If you're talking about using the power of the state to deny people their rights, Get out of here, done.
But did he say that? Here's the thing. I mean,
that's the implication, Spike.
I'm with you there. And it doesn't sound or look good for Dave Reichert when this goes statewide
right.
in a very, as you said, blue and progressive state.
Yeah.
But what politician hasn't got in front of a group of donors and told them what they wanted to hear?
Barack Obama. They cling to their guns and their religion.
Right, right. They tell you what you want to hear when you brought. And this was never intended to go public, I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Would Reichert say that in a campaign ad?
So
I doubt it.
So you're saying he's lying is what he is?
No, he's saying he was raised. In his mind, marriage is between a man and a woman.
Okay.
He was raised this way. My wife's a woman. I am a man. There are only men and women. These are my beliefs. This is how I was raised. He's got every right to feel that way.
He most certainly does.
Got every right to tell his constituents, his potential donor base, that I feel the same way you feel. I'll fight for you. He hasn't come out and said, I'm going to make a statewide ban on gay marriage. I want to assault the rights
sure.
of the trans community.
But
he hasn't said
this
that.
This is a massive red flag if there is some kind of trans legislation that comes down the pipeline that he then has to sign. And when he's talking about these are my fundamental beliefs, okay, well, are you then going to apply your core beliefs, your core ethos to being the governor, or are you not? Because if you're not, you shouldn't be in the governor's race. And moreover, if you're willing to take away rights from American citizens simply because your book tells you that you should, that is maybe one of the most backwards, idiotic, and I'm trying to be nice about this. You cannot say something with more ignorance than what Dave Reichert said. The man is a hero, sure. I appreciate everything that he's done.
Sure.
He needs to update his memory so that he understands that this is trash. What he is saying is objectively trash. And also, it has no basis in science. I believe a man is a man, is a woman is a woman. Great. I believe in chairs. Laura, let's do a fun exercise. Can you describe a chair to me, Laura? Just a chair.
A chair, a seat, maybe a back, four legs.
Okay. But what about if it's on wheels? If it has wheels, is it a chair?
Oh, it's a wheelchair.
Okay. But what if it has like octopus, like five legs at the bottom of it? You know how the ones they have, like, they made out of like metal and they go down to the bottom and they form like a pillar?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a chair?
Yes.
Okay, so there are many different ways of what we can contextualize
a chair. I guess when you explain it that way.
Right, so like if a wheelchair is used to get around and it's a seat on wheels, does that mean that the thing that I got in the other day that the other person was driving to take me to the supermarket, is that a seat? Or what do we
there's
call
that?
There's
a seat that? In that. There's, inside the car?
It's a car. Yeah. That's what it is.
But it's got a
okay.
seat with wheels, much like the other thing you described.
What Reichert is doing is he's trying to do this kind of essentialist or fundamental argument about what the essence of a thing is. And unfortunately, although that sounds nice in front of a bunch of donors, when you actually look at the neuroanatomy of transgender people, what you will see, which I don't know if Dave Reichert ever chooses to do so, it might behoove him to do so, you will see that all too often that the internal mechanisms of someone who is suffering from dysphoria, talking about the size of the amygdala, the size of the temporal lobes, are more closely aligned with the gender that they choose to identify with than the gender that they do not. That is hard science. You cannot go to that idea that has been established in science since, 2011, and then say, I believe a man is a man, is a woman is a woman, because then you are ignoring neuroanatomy. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I hear you.
It is a useless and stupid thing for him to say, and quite frankly, he should be embarrassed to bring that kind of rhetoric in front of a bunch of donors, rather than saying this is a complex issue that requires science and I'm not a scientist.
Well, I think it's a wonderful point, but the most important point you made just there was that Dave Reichert, while he may not campaign on this issue, he told you who he really is and how he really feels. And when it comes across his desk, we can see how he's really going to vote.
Right. And
the point
was
very well made.
I just can't stand this trash that people throw out there about trans people. Laura, you're looking at me like...
Bubba on the text line says that he fell victim to talking to the room instead of talking to the state.
Based.
That's a very good point.
Based. Bubba is so based
on this. Talking to their checkbooks, as politicians do.
And I'll tell you who did this the right way. Mike Lee. You remember what he said about this?
Mike Lee, the senator from Utah?
Yeah, exactly. Remember what he said about this? It was the governor of Utah. Pardon me.
Oh, right. I forget his name.
He said it was when that transgender bill came down the pipeline. He was like, listen, I'm a Christian. I have these beliefs, but I also have looked at the science and I've looked at the data. And so I'm going to veto this bill, which would exclude transgender kids from participating in sports. That's the way that you do it. You don't do this trash where you're like going around talking about things that you don't know about. This is the this is the problem with conservatism right now, is that they hammer down on these talking points. If I went to Dave Reichert, if he was in this room right now and I said, can you tell me about the neuroanatomy and or the neurobiology of transgender individuals, he would look at me like how a deer looks at a car the seconds before it gets
hit.
Just before
yeah,
it hits.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if he defaulted to, well, I believe, we're not talking about what you believe. We talk about what the science is. I believe lots of things. Still to this day, I believe that I have to check every lock in my house. Otherwise, someone will break into my apartment and kill me. Is that a realistic belief to have?
No.
No. That's why we use science and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
right?
But there are states in America where the majority of the citizens of that state feel just like Dave Riker does.
Right.
And if the majority of citizens in a state feel that way, the governor's going to respond to and legislate to not appease to, but to work with the will of the voters in the state, the majority of the state. That's how it's supposed to work, and that's why we're in a blue state here.
I like how you have the trans kid, and you're the one who's more measured about this than I am. Like, you're the one who's more respectful.
It's very personal for me. I hear you.
You're being so much more respectful.
But that's why we live in Washington, because Dave Riker's point of view is a minority point of view.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of now, I shall now rip into the left, because I can't stand this kind of garbage that happened over at SeaTac. So 46 protesters have been charged with shutting down the road to SeaTac Airport. Did you see the images of this, Spike?
Yeah, I have. It's you framed it because it was yesterday when it happened.
Let me describe the images quick. So what you basically have is a group of people who have PVC piping, and then they have handcuffed themselves in between PVC piping whilst wearing white jumpsuits.
Oh, like a hazmat jumpsuit, painter jumpsuits?
It looks like Devo had a bad acid trip and ended up on stage in the worst way possible.
And is that supposed to be human blood on their jumpsuits?
I believe
so. Is that what they're representing here?
I believe so. Yeah. So they basically blocked the entrance to the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. They were arrested. 46. I think that this is good for them to know that you cannot do this kind of garbage when it comes to important areas of commerce. And quite frankly, they should be embarrassed as well.
And if you're going to have the courage of your convictions, and you're going to go to jail, you're going to go to court, you're going to pay a fine. You don't just get to go out there and interrupt traffic and wave your flag and your watermelon balloons and go home at the end of the day and talk about it on your subreddit post about how great and how successful you were.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Feel free to have the courage of your convictions and pay the consequences, whether it's lost time at work, time in jail, money out of your pocket.
I think that these people probably would have gotten a lot more traction had they taken the time that they wasted from everybody and that they actually said, how do we make a communication for other people so they can be as educated on this issue as we are? Meaning
yes,
we can make, we can use the documentary footage, we could use, take some time to actually gather primary sources or whatever it might be. We could do fundraising. That's a better use of your time than annoying everybody.
Hey, whoa, Gentle right. Joe has got to go.
And I understand that they're frustrated about the way that the Palestinian people are being treated. I understand that wholeheartedly.
It's a valid concern to have.
There was a German film crew that was allowed access into, it was just outside of the Rafah gate. And they were allowed access to go look at some of the humanitarian aid that was being given to those people. That's much more impactful than, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, you can't make your
you
flight.
You can't make me leave.
I went and watched that video after you described it to me, and you're right. That is so much more impactful, so much more powerful.
Right.
Moving of a point of view, a public point of view.
Right.
Than any kind of block a bridge, block a highway, block a roadway, block a ramp.
So I'm glad that they are getting charged. Anti-Semitic incidents continue to rise in the Pacific Northwest. It's what the Anti-Defamation League reports. Now, here's the thing about the ADL, is that the ADL is a little trigger happy, let us just say, when it comes to this is anti...
I'm serious, because everything seems to fall under the umbrella of anti-Semitism these days.
Yeah, or even racist, right?
Right.
Like the ADL, as good of an organization as they have been in the past, more recently, they have decided that any criticism towards Israel is in some way, shape, or form a form of anti-Semitism.
Right.
And so, and also they take instances of, and this is equally frustrating to me, like they'll take instances of a spray painting of a swastika on the side of a building or something, and they'll go, aha, it's an example of anti-Semitism. We don't know if it's targeted or if it's just a group of kids who are being silly.
Right.
Right.
So who don't understand the magnitude of the symbolism of what they're doing there. They're just being young and dumb.
Right. Exactly. So an audit found that factors in criminal and non-criminal acts of harassment and intimidation, they said that there were 370 total incidents in the region. That doesn't surprise me, being that it's a state of how many people?
Oh,
7 million people.
Yeah, probably 4 or 5
right.
Statewide.
Right.
I don't know, probably 7. You're right, though. Yeah.
I'm just saying that if there will always be a certain degree of anti-Semitism from the left and the right, wherever it is that you go. I think that this was kind of done as like a spooky anti-Semitism is out there. I used to work at a radio station, which we took phone calls, and I get on my knees every single day and I pray to God and I say, thank you for closing that awful radio station that I used to work at. Because
really?
Because it was a call-in station.
Yeah.
And I say, thank you for bankrupting that awful man and having that station shut down. Because people would call in and it was just kookies, loony people who would call in and they would say anti-Semitic things on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And it would be kind of coded anti-Semitism or whatever it is. And after a period of time, what I realized is that a lot of this was mental illness, but then another part of it was just an inability to talk about complex issues. So that they would, it's much easier to wrap everything up under the umbrella of the Jews than actually have to look into different topics and analyze them for what they are when it comes to geopolitics or international.
Yeah, you're angry, you're afraid, you've been told this is the reason that you should be mad, and this is people perpetrating what the problems in your life.
Right, exactly.
And it's so much easier to just pick up the torch and pitchfork.
But, I mean, I think that when I see this, I'm call me crazy for looking at it in this way, but 370 incidents is pretty low. I understand it's on the rise, but considering how many millions of people are in the pretty low considering, right?
Yeah, I that's a good way to look at it.
I mean, I don't necessarily know.
One's too many. Right, but we're not being overrun.
Becoming mainstream in so many ways. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Speaking of being mainstream, brace yourself for weeks of poor air quality in 2024. I yelled at Aaron Granillo yesterday. I told him the end was happening. I told him the apocalypse was upon us. And he read his study, whatever that means. And he read his data. And he did that interview with that person who was talking about drought conditions.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that means. The apocalypse is on its way. And 2024 is looking like it's going to be rough stuff when it comes to air quality. Smoke and fire season. We'll talk about it. We get back right after this. What's the deal with all the major news networks giving Starbucks free advertising?
Yeah, you mean the cups? The cups on the desks?
No. Were you not paying attention to Aaron Granillo's newscast?
I was reading. Sorry.
Spike, now we have to talk about your on-air conduct, buddy. What's going on here?
I was off air.
Granillo just did a thing from CBS talking about how, hey, Starbucks, super noisy, not anymore, soundproofing, so you can have a good time, right?
Okay.
That's free advertising for Starbucks.
I should listen to Granillo's reports. They're very good.
It's just a free advertising for Starbucks. Don't listen to it.
It didn't work
Jack's,
on me, though.
Jack's not wrong.
Thank you, Granillo.
I thought you meant every time they show a Senate congressional hearing or trial, everybody's got a Starbucks cup sitting on their dais there.
Well, that's kind of part of it. Starbucks, the amount of stories about this is obscene. Fox 59, Entrepreneur, Yahoo Finance, MSN, AOL.com, they're all covering the same story about, hey, and a lot of these are CBS affiliates where they're taking that little press release about soundproofing, and then they talk about Starbucks, and then you go, I might go sit in a Starbucks and enjoy a nice quiet environment because I'm a sociopath. Patrick Bateman, I'll walk in, right? I mean, this is
sure.
It's my thought about it is basically this. How is that in any way, shape, or form news?
News that we can use?
Just news, period.
Yeah.
News. Full stop, period.
I guess a lot of people still use Starbucks as a hub for meetings, for business, for free Wi-Fi.
You're slowly driving me insane.
I'm sorry.
You're literally going to put me into an early grave. You're trying to rationalize. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you this is what happened. Starbucks had a low quarter,
uh-huh.
And then they say, how can we get people to come back in and buy our trash that's poison?
Overpriced trash and poison.
Overpriced. And so then they said, well, what can we change that's not expensive, that's not going to cost a lot of overhead, that's going to impact the way that people feel when they are in our poison delivery factories?
Couldn't be bigger cups for less money.
We're not going to do that. We're going to get cheap foam siding from China, and then we're going to glue it to the ceiling, and it's going to have the Little Mermaid on it, and that'll be big bada boom. Hey, everybody, soundproofing, as if that matters, because when everybody goes to Starbucks, they're always looking at their phone, and they have their earbuds in. People, human beings now walk around with horse blinders. We put the AirPods in. We're looking at our phones.
Yes.
We are not looking at other human beings. We don't talk to other human beings. I know this because Laura never looks at me ever for any reason.
Because whenever I do look at you, you go, Laura, do you have anything to say? And then I'm very much on the spot.
That's right. Exactly. I've trained everybody. Look at Nicholas right now. Nicholas is on his phone at this very moment behind the board. What are you doing, Nicholas? What is this?
Socializing with friends in my youthful state.
Why are we like this? What is this is madness that literally a CBS report comes out and says soundproofing now at Starbucks. And we all go, yeah, I guess that's news. It's not news. It's advertising for a company that the only reason they did this was to try to get more people in there so that they could increase the revenue for Q3 or whatever it is. This is madness. Why isn't any? You guys are not on my level with this whatsoever. What's going on? Nicholas, am I going insane?
Give me Starbucks or give me death. Right now.
How dare you, Nicholas?
I love that you're fighting for human connection in our society.
I'll tell you what I'm fighting against is that this medium, we are supposed to be talking about, ostensibly, we were supposed to be talking about important things. We were supposed to be talking about things that matter to people. Drug addiction, homelessness, the healthier kids, air quality, which according to this thing right here says not going to be so great over the summer, going to get pretty poor air quality in 2024 based on the drought levels because the apocalypse is coming. But that's besides the point because we have to focus on Starbucks, baby. Starbucks is getting soundproofing. Who would have ever thought that Starbucks would ever think to themselves, gee whiz, when the underpaid woman behind the counter accidentally drops the Frappuccino maker, other people might be disturbed. So we better get some cheap soundproofing from China and glue it to the ceiling and call it a day. This is consumerist garbage, and it is being fed to us as if it is news to try to numb us away from what is actually occurring in this fine country. Why are we even talking about the Mayorkas? What is it?
He's being impeached today. There's a Senate hearing.
Doesn't matter, baby. We're talking about Starbucks getting soundproofing in, dude. We're going down to Starbucks.
That's the liberal media. They want us to know about the Mayorkas impeachment.
I need a mechanism to get as much sugar into my body as humanly possible that's overpriced. Where can I go?
You whip cream on that?
Yes, I do, sir. As a matter of fact, I want whipped cream on that. Give me diabetes. Can I get the world record of diabetes diagnosis from Starbucks? How can we make that happen?
Vanilla Frappuccino, I got it.
There you go. Thank you. I mean, this is like Fenty. Bizarre. So this is what Starbucks did. They looked at the McDonald's model, okay? Mm-hmm. I've thought about this long and hard. They looked at the McDonald's model, and they said, okay, that's cheap food that is not good for you, not nutritious, and not filling in any way, shape, or form. Because when your body does not get the macronutrients that it needs, it still feels hungry, right?
Sure.
And because we don't identify that, we go, well, I guess I'll eat more trash. Starbucks came along, and they said, how can we do the same thing but cheaper? I know. Overpriced coffee drinks, too much sugar, simple syrup, whatever it is. People are literally drowning themselves in insulin on a daily basis, being like, yeah, I just need a little pick-me-up in the morning. And now they got soundproofing, so I can even sit in there and not have to be bothered by people making noises, even though I have my iPods in. Laura?
I'll push back on you, because I think more places need soundproofing.
I can't remember how antiquated my point of view was a moment ago. I thought people were still gathering and had meetings at Starbucks. I forgot that 6 months ago they put a mission out to eliminate the hangout. They want you to get it and hit it.
Laura, why do you think that more places need soundproofing? Your job depends on this.
Everything is very echoey and loud. I would love to go to a bar and not hear clatter.
The din
and other,
of the
other people's conversations.
Okay, that's an excellent
answer.
Especially
in a small space.
That's an excellent answer.
There are so many trendy new restaurants at the bottom of those gentrification high-rise buildings.
Retail level.
It's concrete and glass and metal, and you go in there and you can't hear yourself think.
This is, Lord.
What happened to atmosphere?
Yeah.
What happened to ambiance?
You got to put a little bit more rage behind it. You got to put a little bit more.
I'm not a rageful person, Jack.
Neither am I.
I'm simply coming to you with tears in my eyes, asking for soundproofing.
Just a girl standing in front of you asking for some quiet.
Asking for some soundproofing.
For some peace and quiet.
Hey, speaking of peace and quiet, by the way, Spike O'Neill's eldest was proposed to all of about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, about that.
And we still made Spike work, despite the fact that his eldest could have called Dad and said, "Oh my God."
Yeah, but I keep missing her call.
Yeah, exactly. So, but instead, we made Spike work.
I'm happy to be here, buddy.
We were taskmasters. We'll hear the story of Spike's eldest getting engaged when we get back right after this. We got a YouTube channel. It's pretty awesome because it's digital content that we only put there. So before we do this show, we go downstairs to our digital studio, which Laura built by hand. It's amazing. The table, assembled the microphones. Jacob was there too, but he was just supervising. And so you can
hands on his hips.
He was like the guy in the IKEA foldouts. He just kept moving every so often and repositioning himself. So that's how we built that studio. Yeah, excellent job, Laura. And you can go check out our digital exclusive content, for which we put out 2 videos a day. Speaking of things that come in twos, Spike has 2 children. One of them got proposed to earlier today. Tell us, Mr. O'Neill, how do you feel about your eldest daughter, Ryan, becoming a
missus?
Finally a woman.
Sadie,
no longer a girl.
Lady. Now comes the madness of planning a wedding. It's going to be great.
Is that why you're crying?
Wait,
because this is what I see in your future. You're ready, Spike? Uh-huh. You ready for this? This is what you're, this is going to be everything you hear for the next year, right?
Yeah.
This is all Spike's going to get for the next. Dad, there's this thing going on with the, and then the caterer, and my dress is.
I can't have those chairs.
And then those chairs are,
better,
I don't want.
Better chairs, only $3 more each, Dad, to rent them.
But, and then, Dad, these floral arrangements, they have real orchids in them, and you know how much, I don't want fake ones. And the
second arch? This second arch?
It's only $20,000 for the dress, Dad. It's the only time I'll ever wear it.
The dogs have to have matching tuxedos.
You have to get the fish, too, not the chicken.
Both the chicken and the fish.
The
menu's going to be awesome.
I mean, and then you got to do the testing of the catering. You got to figure out
the samples.
Spike, you are in. And then there's the rental fee and the bar.
Can I tell you though that my oldest has already taken so much on prior to, because she wasn't blindsided by this. They've been talking about this for quite a while. She's already picked a venue. Mm-hmm. She met with a photographer who said, "You're probably the most in tune bride. You've got things laid out and how you want them and what time and what place." She's already got a lot of it going down the tracks. I know, because my bank account's got like vampires all over it for the last 6 months. But that's good. She's thinking forward. Here's what happened in New York City today, right? My kid lived 8 years in New York, really shaped who she was.
Yeah.
Her fiance now, I say her fiance now, her guy had never been to New York. So he's like, let's go to, he had a surprise trip to New York planned. He was going to take her to New York City so she could show him the city he'd never seen before.
The concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Right. And they're going to go to Coney Island because she loved Coney Island. One of her favorite memories was how close the beach is to the concrete jungle of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to Coney Island and she's showing him this and she's showing him that. And she turns around and he's on one knee under the Cyclone roller coaster, the old wooden coaster on Coney Island. And he offers her the ring and she said yes. And it was funny because when he told her they were going to New York earlier this week, Sunday,
yeah,
he put up 2 balloons in the living room while she was sleeping.
Yeah,
a big gold NY and a bunch of gold and silver balloons. It was really pretty, right? And she looked at the NY, and over the course of the night, they had kind of the breeze and draft in their place had spun them around, so it was YN. And she's like, "Well, yes." She thought that was the proposal.
Oh, yes. No.
And he's like, no. I want to take it in New York." No, which was like such a perfect setup for what he did.
He should have just done it right
there. No, because they were still good. But he had a photographer waiting at Coney Island. They caught the moment where she said yes and put the ring on her finger. I mean, the kids really got their act together.
I'm mostly disappointed because I was planning on being Spike's son-in-law, and now I guess I don't get to do that now for whatever reason.
That's just what a sweet thing to say.
I'm not mad about it or anything like that. I'm just saying that
you're still willing to do the catering for the wedding, right? We need to save some money.
Yeah, I could cater
your teriyaki chicken is legendary.
We'll just break out a couple of air fryers, and it'll be kale and eggs and teriyaki chicken for no carbs at this fine wedding. Is that a cake? Get that out of here. Bring forth the Greek yogurt.
Let's not talk about the cake.
What's going on with the cake?
I've got to pull strings because I know I'm somebody who knows people in this town.
Yeah.
I've got friends of position in the city.
Yeah.
I happen to know the owner of one of the largest bakeries in the city whose brand has gone international.
Oh.
He's an acquaintance. I wouldn't call him a good friend. He's an acquaintance of mine.
Is this the person who's married to Mrs. Fields?
No, not Mr. Fields, no. He stopped taking my calls for some reason.
Is his name Mr. Crocker?
It's a guy from Top Pot Donuts, Mark. The owner of Top Pot, founder of Top Pot Donuts. My daughter loves this one donut that they sell out of every day, every morning. She tries to go to get, and they don't make enough of them.
Right.
I want to get like 1,000 of them for her wedding.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
How much is that donut going to cost you?
Who knows? Who cares?
Okay.
You only get married once, I hope.
Well, for some of us, it's probably going to be twice, maybe three times if I'm lucky.
You do it till you get it right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the kids pulled off. He pulled off the ultimate surprise. And
that's so sweet. Yeah. That's. How do you feel as a individual? You're now 78 years old and your child
close,
is now,
You know, we started our family later than most people start their families.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping I'll get a grandkid to bounce on my knees sometime. This will help. I hope
grandkids are even more going out the.
Cha-ching.
Is it the kind of thing where like you look at your bank statements and you go, I didn't order 500 roses, and then you realize
we've been doing table treatments in my basement for the last couple months. Where Oof. Ryan will lay out a table arrangement with linen and floral and see, what do you think of that, Mom? Like, well, there's $200 I didn't need to spend on something that didn't make the cut. But, you know, it's all in service of the perfect afternoon, the perfect day.
Yeah, just a couple hours.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of being perfect days, segues are hard. They're difficult from time
to
time.
You need a real pro.
You know what else is hard? Data. Because Seattle's homicides have declined, mirroring a national trend. But Jason Rantz says, is crime truly declining? There's a little bit more politicking going on behind the scenes. The GOP candidates battle for an endorsement in the Washington governor's race. It's awkward. Right?
It's going to be a difficult weekend in Spokane.
It's like, are you a MAGA person or are you a...
Or do you want to win an election?
Or do you want to win an election?
Sorry, that's awful.
That's the way that I would have put it. Seattle studied dozens of sites for housing growth. 24 got picked. Is it going to be your neighborhood? I'll tell you, it's not my neighborhood.
Nope, it's not.
Not going to be my neighborhood, but we'll talk about it when we get back right after this.